What did I expect? A honor I didn't get. Well, I expected to see a variegated community of spiritual practitioners who are inspiring each other to move forward in life. What does it actually mean to move forward in life? It means to have as your main goals objectives that are not fashioned by the material energy. You see, whether you use your energies for Krishna consciousness or you use your energies for material achievement, things are going to be demanded of you. You have to surrender. Those of you who work or go to university, you know, you have to surrender. Things are expected of you. Requirements are put forward to you that you have to fulfill. That's just the way it is. Indeed, that is the nature of all existence, both material and spiritual. If you take shelter of the material energy will demand of you. If you take shelter of the spiritual energy, then the spiritual energy also has its demands. So then actually, the main choice in life is, which demands are you going to fulfill? You have to fulfill demands. Look at another way. You are trying to decide which rushing river to jump into. No matter which river you jump into, the material or the spiritual, it's going to carry you away. So you have to decide. Which one do you want to be carried away by? The material energy has its demands. The spiritual energy has its demands. So what do you want to fulfill as your main goal in life? Of course, it is true. Even if we say our goal is spiritual, we cannot neglect the material body. We have to eat and sleep. We have to take care of the body. It's just not the main goal for someone who is dedicated to taking shelter of the spiritual energy. But even though taking care of your body is not your main goal in life, even though satisfying your body is not your main goal in life, still you can understand what it means that the body has demands. You know what it's like when you haven't eaten for a while. You haven't drunk water for a while. There are demands that the body makes. All of material nature is making demands. In the working world, in the university world, everyone knows you have to do what you're told. And what is the essence of Bhagavad Gita? Krishna is telling Arjuna, you have to fight because I want you to fight. That is the ultimate dharma. The ultimate religious principle is Krishna wants it. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna wanted his men, the Pandavas, in, and he wanted Duryodhana and company out. Krishna was causing a governmental change of major proportion. Now, it was not that Duryodhana and company were inefficient administrators. They actually were good administrators. It's just they had one slight problem. They were not Krishna conscious. Actually, the battle of Kurukshetra in Bhagavad Gita was fought by powerful administrator warriors, and each side thought, I can better take care of the people. That's part of their nature as Kshatriyas or Vedic administrators and warriors. They felt, we can better serve the people. We can better govern than the opposing side. It was not that they were simply thinking, we want all the aggrandizement for ourselves. Yeah. Even though Duryodhana and company, they were materially competent to protect the people from the material point of view, to organize the people, to set up a proper administration. Because they had this one problem, they were anti-Krishna. Krishna wanted them out. And so Krishna demanded of Arjuna, you fight and think of me. You do your duty in Krishna consciousness. So, we have to decide for ourselves what kind of demands we're going to answer to. You can look at your whole life as a sequence of demands. Your body is demanding of you. Your mind is demanding of you. Society is demanding of you. Your family is demanding of you. That's the way life is. Now you have to figure out what is the highest demand to fulfill. What's the best demand to fulfill? But you cannot be free of demands. Not possible. Why is that? That you cannot be free from demands? Because you're a tiny part of the complete whole. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Mamayamsham Jivaloke Jivabhuta Sanatana. All you living entities are my eternal parts. Because you're not the complete whole, therefore you're subject to demand and influence. So you can choose, however, what kind of demands and influence you'll deal with in your life. The intelligent person analyzes the direction his or her life is going in. The demands that you're fulfilling. My body is demanding of me. My mind is demanding of me. Is that going to be the major thing in my life? Throughout your lifespan, you're just meeting different sets of demands. When you're a little kid, your mind and body demand of you. Little kids have to play, right? Is it so? Little kids have to play? Yes? Their mind and body is pushing them in that way. Then they grow up a little older, and they have to go to school. Did any of you spontaneously, joyfully go to school when you were 5 or 6 years old? I remember when I was 5 years old. I was very mischievous in kindergarten. I used to put the tables on top of my head and all sorts of things like that. And then, for my first year of formal studies, first grade, I remember still to this day, it was 50 years ago, I remember what I said as soon as I saw the school, the neighbors were driving me in the car to the school with their children. I had my lines rehearsed. As soon as I saw the school for the first time, I would say, this is the school I do not like. I had it all rehearsed. And sure enough, as soon as I saw the school, I said my lines. But of course, the adults, you think, all right, just couldn't care less, you know. I took it very seriously. This is the school I do not like. I thought it was a major pronouncement. But the adults just paid me no mind. So, whether you like it or not, you have to go to school. Then as you become a teenager, you all know the demands that teenage life puts on you. you discover the opposite sex. And then you continue with your school demands while discovering the opposite sex. When you finish high school, the demands of what is your place in society going to be? Hit you. Are you going to study in university? Are you going to get a job? What are you going to do? Your family looks at you, puts that demand on you. So now? So then, you can go to university and get a job. More demands. When you finish university. You have to face the demands of employment. And then, naturally, in your 20s, in your mid-20s, you start to want to have meaningful relationships. Sooner or later, most people settle down in their late 20s or 30s. Then there are all sorts of family demands you have to deal with. The wife wants children. The husband wants a new computer or a new car. Maybe a boat. Do they have boating around here? Yeah, big, big. Yes. In New Zealand, that's big. Boats. Those were the male toys. Computers, boats, cars, like that. And of course the wife wants children. Those are her toys. We won't say which toys are more expensive. But so, these are demands. And then not only do you have to deal with your own immediate family, you have to deal with your in-laws. More demands. Meanwhile, you're also dealing with your job demands. So you've got job demands, your immediate family demands, your wife's demands, your husband's demands, your children's demands, your in-laws' demands, the government's demands, social expectations. On and on it goes. So you continue with this heavy burden of demands, and then you start noticing, time is also demanding of me. I'm not young anymore. And when you start realizing that in your mid-40s, you may get very frightened. Oh no, I'm not young anymore. How am I going to enjoy it? Soon I'll be like those old people that I used to always laugh at. And then you realize, time has demanded of me. So it's not simply your own body, your own mind. It's not simply your own immediate family that's demanding of you. It's not simply your in-laws, your job, your university studies. It's not simply social expectations. It's not simply the government. It's time also. And this way, you finish out your life caught tightly in the grip of time, the ultimate demand. That's why Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Kalosmi, I am time, bringing about the ultimate solution in this battle of Kurukshetra. The intelligent person analyzes the lifespan in this way and then decides, he or she decides, what are the best demands to fulfill since I have to fulfill demands. Once again, why do you have to fulfill demands? Because you're not the complete whole. You're not everything. You're part of a network. You're part of a greater reality and you have obligations to that reality. The way Krishna's system works is, if you don't want to fulfill Krishna's demands, then you have to fulfill the demands of Krishna's illusory energy. which is indirectly relating to Krishna, as you know, because the illusory energy belongs to Krishna. Just like in conventional society, if the citizens don't fulfill the government's demands while they're living in their homes, then they have to fulfill the government's demands in prison. So material existence is a prison house. We try to make the best out of our prison time as we can, but it's a prison house. And you're fulfilling demands in the prison house. You don't have to be in the prison house. Simply you have to come to grips with the nature of the demands that you're going to fulfill in life. But please get it understood thoroughly. You must fulfill demands. That's the story of your life. I wonder how many of you are brave enough to see that. To think, the story of my life is fulfilling demands. How does that feel? Too honest? Just think of the long list of demands that I described. That's the story of your life. And above all is time taking away your lifespan. What does the second canto of Bhagavatam say? Shukadeva Goswami says, Ayur Hariti Vaikunsam, Ujjan Astra Chayanasar. Both by the rising and setting of the sun, your lifespan is being taken away. That's a demand. How many of you think every time you see the sun rise and the sun set, it's indicating demand? The sun is demanding that you surrender your lifespan. It's depleting your life. It's indicating your life's running out every time the sun rises and sets. How many of you think like that? Or do you think, oh, what a beautiful sunrise, beautiful sunset? It may be true, but also, the other reality is also true, that the sun is taking away your lifespan, diminishing your lifespan. It's showing the demands of time. Since you have to fulfill demands, why not choose the best energy that's going to demand of you? Doesn't that make sense? Now let's talk about Krishna's demands. At the end of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Sarva dharmam prajaja manikam sharanam. Abandon all your conceptions of dharma, what is religion, and realize that actually religion means to simply do what I want. You surrender to my demands and I'll protect you from all material reactions. But Krishna personally said, I'll protect my devotees if they consider my demands. Now, of course, Krishna doesn't force you, because, as we've explained before, how can there be love based on force? Sometimes devotees ask the question, why doesn't Krishna just force us to become Krishna conscious? If Krishna really cared for us, he would just force us to go back to Godhead. But how many of you want forced love? Have any of you said that to a potential spouse or partner? Why don't you just force me to love you? You don't have any interest in that. No, you didn't say that. You want to feel the spontaneous, voluntary bubbling of attraction, mutual attraction, and reciprocation. So, as I always point out, why do you want Krishna to have something that you yourself don't want? You don't want forced love, so why do you want Krishna to have that? Krishna wants you to voluntarily want to fulfill his loving demand. The whole purpose of the Krishna conscious process is to get you in shape, get you in the purified state of mind for choosing voluntarily to fulfill Krishna's demands. What are Krishna's demands, anyway? Are they something to fear? Well, Krishna's demands are the demands of love. And Krishna has a right to have these loving demands because Krishna is unlimitedly qualified in the ability to reciprocate with his devotees. So, it's wrong of you to demand of someone if you cannot properly reciprocate with that person. The material world is full of examples of people who demand of others, but the person demanding can't deliver the goods. I demand of you to act in this way. I demand of you to act that way. But the person demanding, what can he actually do? What can she actually do for you? But Krishna has unlimited potency and ability to satisfy his devotees, to reciprocate with them. Therefore, Krishna is entitled to make his loving demands. Come to me, surrender to me, I'll protect you, don't worry. Now, can you say that to anyone? Come to me, surrender to me, I'll protect you, don't worry. You can't. Because you cannot stop the onslaught of material nature. Only Krishna can stop the onslaught of material nature. And he says in Bhagavad Gita, Daivyesha gunamayi mamamaya drakya mamegaye prapajante mayamedam chantite. This illusory energy of Maya is practically impossible to overcome. You'll never get to the end of the demands of material nature. Maybe some of you had that experience. You thought, okay, I'll just get this thing done. I'll just finish off this thing. I'll pay off this loan, or I'll wait till my child finishes this level of school. Just this. I'll finish paying off the car, or finish paying off the mortgage, or I'll just meet this demand, and that will be it for a while. Yes? Do you remember? No, it goes on and on and on and on. You only see the false promise that the demands are going to taper off, or the demands are going to be finished. Yeah. It's like the old example, the classic example of the donkey, and the donkey's motivated to move forward because the driver of the cart that the donkey's attached to has a stick holding a carrot in front of the donkey's nose. So, we see that carrot hanging in front of us. If I just finish this, then everything will be alright. You ever feel like that? If I just get past this hurdle, if I just get this job, if I just pay off this loan, if I just get this house, and that'll be it. If I just get a widescreen TV, that'll be it. Remember to do that? I just get this. Then everything will be fine. But material nature doesn't work like that. Material nature is an ongoing process of demands. There's only one way that you can escape the demands of material nature. That is, you have to escape material nature. You've got to get off the escalator. Otherwise, you must fulfill the demands of material nature. You must meet the demands of material nature. The intelligent person takes advantage of Krishna's demands and is very happy to fulfill Krishna's desire. Krishna is ever fresh, and relating to Krishna's service is ever fresh. Krishna's holy aim is ever fresh. We substitute the illusory, temporary demands for the eternal, real demands, the demands of your spiritual life, your spiritual existence in relation to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's what you should be doing. Why squander your life's energy simply fulfilling material demands and objectives? But the material energy, try to understand this, the material energy bestows a false sense of honor upon you many times if you fulfill material demands. Just like in the traditional family, which is not always present these days. The man actually felt good that he was doing his duty to work hard to provide for his family. Not, of course, criticizing that. But we're just talking about the psychology. The man felt that as I'm working hard, I'm sacrificing, it's all for the good of my family. And of course, in at least up until recently, society would recognize that. Yes, yes, very good. If ladies would sacrifice for their children, that would be considered very noteworthy some time ago by society. Of course, now everything is becoming very different. Because today's mothers have been raised by parents who didn't know how to raise children. Similarly, the current generation of mothers, they'll have no idea how to raise their children. And basically they just think, look, I'm trying to be happy, so you tell your kids, you be happy in your own way. Society is still demanding of everyone. It's just the type of demand is changing from the traditional nuclear family demand to just the global consumer demand. How many global products do you have in your flat or your house? How are you connected to the worldwide global consumer's culture? Those are the demands now that are coming upon people. Never mind whether you're married, divorced, or whatever, living together, shacking up, it doesn't matter. How are you consuming? What are you buying? Those are the demands that are upon you. And society now gives you recognition for filling those false demands. It's not so much the nuclear family anymore. Whether you have family or not, whatever, but are you consuming? Are you purchasing? How many credit cards do you have? What interest rates are you getting on your credit cards? What about home entertainment system? Do you have one yet? You can't just have a TV. You have to have a home entertainment system. And of course, now your TV can't be a regular TV. Well, it's got to be the widescreen, digital, this, that, the other. You've got to keep up with it. What are Krishna's demands? Mainly that we engage our tongue in chanting Hare Krishna, taking prasad. That we associate with devotees. It's so easy to forget about Krishna if you don't associate with devotees. And what happens when you forget about Krishna? The demands of material existence become the all in all in your life. So easy to forget. If you just stay away for more than a week, at most, you notice this, I'm being swallowed up by material demands. They're assuming the pride of place. They're assuming the number one position in my life. It is very difficult, practically impossible, to keep your head above the water without devotee association. So Krishna simply requests. You chant Hare Krishna, hear about his glories in the association of devotees, take prasad in association of devotees. In this way, the nature of the spiritual reality becomes open to you. You, in other words, you become aware of spiritual demands, those ever-fresh, eternally exciting spiritual demands that are for your best interest. Ultimately, what is the topmost spiritual demand? Krishna's attractiveness. That is a demand on your spirit soul. What can you do? Krishna is unlimitedly beautiful. How are you going to cope with that? Because Krishna is unlimitedly beautiful, you can feel unlimited attraction for Krishna. Who do you know that you felt unlimited attraction? In terms of material relationships, even your favorite person becomes boring sometimes. You need to take a break. But Krishna is unlimitedly attractive. His beauty of his form is an attraction, a demand. He's so beautiful that he demands attention. What can you do? That's why in the confidential sections of the Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishna's confidential devotees describe his beauty as both being like nectar and poison at the same time. Because once that the demand caused by Krishna's beauty gets into your system, you're never the same. You can't live without looking at Krishna's beauty. Who do you know whom you can't live without looking at their beauty? You've never had that experience. Someone so beautiful that you can't live unless you see them. You can't live without seeing their beauty. That is just a great personality of God. Therefore, the confidential devotees of Krishna describe that his beauty is like nectar and poison simultaneously. So exhilarating. At the same time, you can't live without it. It devastates your whole life in terms of being able to do anything else except be attracted to Krishna. Devotee means someone who wants to organize his or her life so gradually the demands of Krishna's beauty become the number one reality in your life. Krishna's beauty is sampled by all your senses, not just the eyes, but the tongue, the ears, the nose, all the senses can experience the demands of Krishna's beauty. That's why Rupa Goswami makes that very famous prayer. If you're at all attracted to the demands of society, mundane society, mundane friendship, mundane love, if you're at all attracted to those kind of demands, don't go to the bank of the Jamuna River at night and see Shyam Sundar and see Krishna. Don't do it. Because just one look at Krishna, Shyam Sundar, and you'll never be able to go back to being a slave of material demands. You'll become a slave of Krishna's beauty. So you decide what you want, but you must fulfill demands. Even speaking materially, mundane love has its demands, yes? Now what about spiritual love? Spiritual love also has its demand. How many of you in your relationships will just say to the other person, I don't want to hear anything more from you. I don't want you asking me to do anything else again. That's it. Have you ever tried that? Of course you haven't tried, but if you did, that means the end. That means you're accepting a situation of ongoing demand. But why can't we accept the fact that eternally we're subject to the demands of Krishna's beauty, Krishna's all-attractiveness? You decide which demand you want to be carried away by. Do you want to be swept away by the mad rushing river of illusion, material demands, or do you want to be swept away by the ecstatically mad rushing river of love of Krishna, Krishna, right? You decide which way your life wants to go. Sometimes it is said, well, why can't we just be neutral? Neither the material demands nor the spiritual demands. We'll just kind of find a neutral spot. There's no neutral spot. It's one or the other. That's the way the cosmos is constructed. You have to commit. You have to be committed either to fulfilling the material demands or the spiritual demands. Now you weigh up the advantages of both. And make your choice. Don't forget, though, while you're trying to make up your choice, trying to make up your mind, time is demanding of you. Time is corroding your life, your lifespan. Clock is running. So this is the reality of life in this world. Now people like to be needed by other persons. Maybe you've had that experience of feeling needed by someone. It can be very ego uplifting to know that someone needs me. Children like to be needed by their parents. Parents like to be needed by their children. Men and women like to need each other. Wasn't a big ego boost when someone told you, I need you. And if no one has told you, I need you, then you'd be like, oh, what's happening? Oh, no. Oh, no one needs me. Oh, my God. No one has ever told me, I need you. It shows that we want to feel that we're sacrificing for someone or something. Everyone wants a cause to sacrifice their life for. You ever wonder why people become a part of fanatical political parties, follow leaders, famous dictators of 20th century Mussolini, or Stalin, Lenin? Why people follow them? They want a cause. They want to get into something. These are the demands of material nature. Get into something. Do something. I remember when I was 14, my father was concerned that I wasn't materially ambitious enough. Not in terms of school. I was always doing well at school, but just he wanted to see that industriousness that I was showing in school, he wanted it applied to all aspects of life. Social life. He would tell me when I was 14.
You've got to get a girlfriend, you know. Yeah, the time has come.
Then my mother would walk in the room and he would shut up. You know, she was a very strict religious person. As soon as she walked out, he'd interview.
Yeah, I
know what your mother thinks, but
you're 14. There are a lot of girls out there, you know. Get into it.
And he would lecture me.
Don't just be a spectator in life. Get out and do it. Get into it. You're watching too much. I want to see you do things.
These are the demands of material nature. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Nahi kaschit janamapi jatu dishtati karmaka. No one can stop doing anything even for a moment. Everyone has to fulfill demands constantly. You can't just say, I'm going to sit and do nothing. No demands. I'm not going to fulfill anything. It doesn't work like that. Have you ever noticed, even from the material platform, speaking materially, if someone designates you to do a certain task which has some kind of honor attached to fulfilling that task, you feel good? Yes, yes. I've been appointed to do such and such a thing. You actually want to be demanded of. Have you ever thought about it like that? In a sense, actually, it's your eternal constitutional position to fulfill demands. Because you're part of Krishna. Krishna is the supreme autocrat of love. And as his parts, our job is to fulfill the loving demands of the supreme loving autocrat. I remember I had an aunt, and she would come home from work. This is when I was a 7 or 8. Maybe 10 or 11, I noticed this. Her kids were about 5 and 7 years old. Whenever she'd come home from work, the kids would rush up to meet her at the door. What would they say? Mommy, mommy, what did you buy me? Do you do that? Father says yes. Every day, mommy, mommy, what did you buy me? And I was a 10-year-old kid, and I thought, oh, this is really bad. No standard. I mean, you say that to your mother as soon as she comes home. I was a 10-year-old kid, but I thought this was really low. But then I looked at my aunt, and she was happy. She was happy to have the kids pulling at her. Mommy, mommy, what did you buy me? She felt needed. She felt that, she felt the demands of their love and affection. Took me a long time to figure that one out. Anyway, I was 10 years old, so I was thinking, what kind of life is this? I'm home from work, and the kids, the first thing they say is, they don't even ask how you're doing, just what did you buy me? What did you buy me? But later I realized actually the aunt was getting a taste from it. To be demanded of by entities that came from her own body, her own productions. You can see the same thing in men. Been working hard all week. I thought I was going to spend Saturday just watching football all day, but the wife wants me to do a few projects around the house. Isn't this up? You gotta feel it. Guess I'm needed. Do a few projects around the home for the next few days. I'm pretty good with my hands and repairing them. Once again, here you are fulfilling demands and feeling good about it. Why don't we realize the origin of this propensity to like to fulfill demands? It doesn't belong in the material world, it belongs to Krishna, with Krishna. We are meant to fulfill Krishna's demands. Just like when Krishna blows his flute, that's a demand. You can't resist. You have to race out to the forest. What can you do? So the proposal I'm presenting to you is, let's replace as much as possible the material demands with the spiritual demands. You can't get rid of demands, though. Okay, any questions? all questions about what I was speaking about? Any questions about fulfilling demands? Does it sound like a plausible analysis? You say yes? Sounds plausible? Or it's you feel it's kind of deflating to analyze life in that way. No? This is all about demands. Everyone's demanding of you. And some people you like it, and some people you don't like it. Some people you hate it when they demand of you, right? Somebody at work, your boss. And others you love it if they demand of you. That's the story of life, meeting demands. Society is demanding of you. Your own body is demanding of you. Time is demanding of you. Your mind is demanding of you. Now, why can't we accept the Krishna demand? The demand of unlimited beauty, unlimited love. We're so miserly. We get so giddy and happy if there's a demand of a tiny little bit of love. You might find the material world. We get so giddy and love.
Why not Krishna?
Who is unlimitedly full of real love. Well, this is real religion. Accepting the demands of the eternally unlimited loving watercraft of beauty. That is God. Most people just know religion as some kind of belief system predominated by a God of punishment. And what is your position? You're sinners in the hands of an angry God. Where do you go to find out that what is the real demand of God? It's His beauty and love that's a demand. It's irresistible. The demand of Krishna's beauty and love is irresistible, just like His flute playing. Therefore, in the Bhagavatam, His confidential devotees are always saying, what can I do? I just looked at Krishna's face once, and now I can't get him out of my heart, out of my mind. He stole away our mind. That's another name of Krishna. Manohar. He steals the mind. With his flute playing, he captures the mind of the residents of Vrindavan. That's a demand. Someone so beautiful, what can you do? You're just rendered powerless by their beauty. But you haven't seen that kind of beauty in the material world. Can you imagine saying to your spouse, you're just so beautiful, I still don't know what to do, I'm just powerless. He or she would think you're crazy. Your beauty just mesmerizes me. I say, stunned. But that is Krishna. He actually is like that. That is God. That is real religion. How to revive your relationship with the unlimited source of beauty and love. And that unlimited beauty and love, that pure spiritual beauty and love, is the ultimate demand. You can't resist, because after all, you are Krishna's parts. What can you do? But when you forget about Krishna's all-attractive beauty and love and the demands of it, then you have to accept the illusory demands of material energy. So therefore Krishna, at the end of Bhagavad Gita, says to Arjuna, I've explained to you all about the workings of my material energy, all about the workings of my spiritual energy. Think about it and do what you want to do. You deliberate and make your choice. It's a choice of which demands to accept. That's all. Yes.
I just want to ask something. As we, when we first come across devotional service, then the demands are not so much. But then as we become more involved and make a little advance, the demands come more and more. Sometimes we wind up in a situation where demands are placed on us, which, you know, scare us, or we don't feel we can fulfill. What do you do in a situation like that?
Well, that doesn't just happen in devotional service. It happens in anything in this world. Doesn't it happen in relationships too? When you first start your relationship with whoever, there's not so many demands. This is going to be so free and carefree. And then later you find out there's all sorts of demands. And then you get scared. So, if we forget, because of lack of association with devotees, lack of hearing in association with devotees about Krishna's glory, if we forget about who is this Krishna we're dealing with, then yes, we'll become afraid. We'll forget through lack of association that Krishna is the love demander. He's placing upon us the demands of love that are our original constitutional nature. You can't resist, ultimately, just like pieces of metal cannot resist the magnet. Krishna's unlimited beauty will triumph. So when you're associated with devotees regularly, and you're hearing Krishna's glories, and you're serving Krishna, you're always cognizant of the unlimited beauty of Krishna, and therefore you're not fearful. We should be fearful about the material demands. You ever had that feeling? You wake up in the morning and you think about someone. What is she going to want now? What is he going to want now? In material life, you have a right to be fearful like that. Parents, like with teenagers. Oh no, what are these? What is it? He's a teenager. What is he going to want now? Krishna, you don't have to be fearful of like that. What is Krishna going to want now? More love. Same as always. So when you separate yourself from devotees, you're not associating up with devotees, then yes, you lose track of Krishna's unlimited beauty and you fall back into the consciousness of religious belief and the punisher God. Then you become fearful. Well, look at some of these questions here. Do we have a destiny within this lifetime? Well, yes, that's what I've been talking about for the past hour. We have a destiny to fulfill demands. It is never too late to kickstart my spiritual life. Yet, after wasting so much time for so many years, demands, you see, I wonder sometimes that it is too late. Please advise. Thank you. No, it's never too late. What does Shukadeva Swami say in the second canto about Kim Pramatasya Bhagavi Paramsaya Vairanaha? Better a short life in which for one moment you're Krishna conscious than a long life wasted by years of experience without Krishna consciousness. It is not the quantity of your life, it's not the length of your life, it's the quality of it. So better a few moments of Krishna consciousness than a long life without Krishna consciousness. So start your Krishna consciousness from whatever point you realize the full impact that you must fulfill demands and that time is also demanding of you. It is never too late. Have you all, I'm sure, know stories of persons who didn't go to the university when they were young because of various reasons, and then in their 30s, 40s, even 50s, they're getting their university degrees. They never thought it's too late to start. They were determined to get education. Similarly, it's never too late to start. Try to understand how material nature is ripping you off. When you're young and full of energy, you have no wisdom, no experience. And then when you're older, you have wisdom and experience, you have no energy. You can't win. I'm sure so many of you who are older remember when you were a teenager in your 20s, you had so much energy, you didn't know what to do with it, right? You practically climbed the walls. The days and nights you just drag by so slowly, and you have all this energy pent up inside you. So I just wanted to scream. Such strength you're here, you remember? Of course, if you take drugs, then that partnership covers over all that. And if you exhaust yourself, if you exhaust your youth and passionate affairs also. But if you just keep yourself aloof from intoxication and illicit sexual indulgence, you realize I have so much energy, what to do? You have no wisdom, no experience. Then you get older, and you've got some wisdom, some realization, some experience, but no more energy. And this kind of material nature is indefeatable. I remember I was 12 years old. My mother, she insisted I take piano lessons. And I did it for a couple of years. We started at 10 until I was 12. I kept telling them, I want to go to piano lessons. I want to play baseball with my friends. And my mother always said, you'll be sorry. One day you're going to wish that you'd taken the time to learn music. Even older teenagers, 19 or 20, your mother's right, you know. If you learn how to play the piano, you can be a life of the party. But I was 12 years old, you know, all I could think of was, you know, let me out playing with my friends. So finally my mother came up. I went, okay. I'm going to stop. That's it. So. And of course, later in life, you're like, oh, I should have caught on. I didn't use that in Krishna's service. So that's nature of when you're young. So much energy, but no wisdom. Then you're older, a bit of wisdom, no energy. All right. When do we have Lord? Thank you very much. I appreciate it.